Take your Bibles and turn this morning to Luke chapter 5. I call this bowing to the truth. Bowing to the truth. If you look down with me at verse 12. It says, "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." I want you to hold your place right there and turn over also to 2 Timothy and the 2nd chapter. And look down with me at verse 24. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." Repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Men and women do not realize what they have set themselves against when they set themselves against the truth of God. The truth that is in Christ Jesus. And even more than that, Christ, the Son of God, who is Himself the truth. The truth concerning Christ, who is Himself the truth, is likened to a stone. Christ Himself said unto some, "Did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doings, and it is marvelous in our eyes." He said, did you not ever read this? That the very one, the very stone that these so-called builders have set at naught, that's the one, he's the one that God has made the head of the corner. But listen further. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. That is the relationship and the consequence of all men and women to Jesus Christ, to the truth in Christ. We will either fall on Him as those broken, as David said, of a broken and a contrite spirit, or He will fall on us, grinding us to powder. You see, repentance has something to do with a rejection of and a renunciation of error. But not just any error. It has to do with us repenting of and renouncing error concerning God. It is called repentance toward God. And as Paul said to Timothy there, it is repentance which is an acknowledging of the truth. When we repent, we renounce error, but we also acknowledge the truth of the gospel as it is in Christ. And Paul says that the servant of the Lord is to preach the truth as it is in Christ, and to wait upon God to give the faith and repentance to those who hear as He will. I am to preach the gospel, but I cannot give you the gift of faith nor the gift of repentance. They are, as the Bible says, gifts of God. They are not things that you of yourselves or anyone is able to do. Isn't it amazing that the very thing which is to believe God, to believe on Christ, the very thing that men in our day say is the very easiest thing you can do, the Scriptures say that without God giving you that faith, you cannot believe on Him. And unless He give you that repentance, that gift of repentance, neither can you repent toward God. But He gives it as a gift. And so He sends out His messengers to preach the gospel, and there is no greater example of such a servant as the one who is himself called Jehovah's servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in His name shall the Gentiles trust." And so here in our text this morning is Jehovah's servant. And he is walking in this world in human flesh and going about among men without any fanfare that he himself has created. And as he comes through this world, we find here a sinner who has found grace in the eyes of the Lord, bowing to the truth. There's not a big show going on. Just the man, Christ Jesus, walking down this street, when God brings to him a man that he has enabled to see him for who he is, and he falls down before him. He is a leper that the Spirit of God has been at work in his heart. And he comes to Christ. And by the gift of God's grace to him, he acknowledges Christ and the truth. Do we know anything about the truth? Well, the first thing, or I should say maybe the first truth he bows to is the truth about his own self. He acknowledges himself to be just exactly what he is, a leper. A leper. You see, leprosy in the Scriptures is used many times as a picture of what we are spiritually as sinners, a picture of sin. Leprosy. And this was one of the most dreaded and most horrible and most incurable diseases of that day. And the Bible says he was full of leprosy. In other words, he came to find out just exactly what his condition is, and that is who always is found coming to Christ. Those who are brought to find out exactly what their condition is, and while they are not full of leprosy as it is, they are full of sin. Absolutely full of sin. And God uses this to describe us in Isaiah a very picture of this leprous man and at the same time a very picture of what we are as sinners. He says they are a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That's an awful picture. That is a person who with this leprosy, it has so engulfed their whole body that in describing them from head to toe, they are nothing but a big sore, a big running and untreated sore. And that is exactly the picture of us as sinners. Because sin, after the fall of Adam, so came upon all our race that the Bible says not only that all sinned in Him and became sinners in Him, but as David said, they are also born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And what this means is that sin has so permeated our whole being that we cannot be described in any other way in ourselves as anything but sin. Now, I know there are some people in this world who will admit, maybe grudgingly, they will admit that sin is what we do. But more than that, what the Bible sets forth is the fact that sin is what we are. In other words, the reason that we do what we do is because of what we are. We don't have a good heart, but sometimes make mistakes. We have an evil heart. And it has its root in our hearts and manifests itself in every thought, every motive, every word, every deed. It taints everything we do. Absolutely. There is none good, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that understandeth. There is none that is righteous, no, not one. And here's this man. He's a leper. And he has been brought to see the awful state he's in. And like every sinner that comes to Christ, they're brought to see how corrupt and vile that they are in themselves, and that there is no pretty way in which we can be described other than that. We are what God says that we are. As a matter of fact, sin has so affected us that we cannot in any way make an accurate judgment as to our own condition and our own state. And unless God opens our eyes and enables us to see and brings us to bow before this truth, that this is what we are, we'll perish. And not only will we'll perish thinking that we're really great folks. We'll perish with a false view of ourselves because we'll have a false view of God, and only in His light can we see light. How many times in your life maybe have you walked outside to an old building or an old shed or something like that? And as you begin to open up the door, you see all the cobwebs and all the dust and all the filth and maybe all the snakes and spiders and such as that. They have been there all the time. But what made them manifest? The light. When you opened the door and the light began to shine in that place, it revealed the awful state and filth, and that is exactly what the truth does. And I'll tell you this, I would never stand before you. I would never, by the grace of God, stand before you and make such statements looking down my nose at you because I in myself am exactly the same thing, and if it can be measured, worse. Worse. God uses this picture, this leprosy, to show how sin has affected all of Adam's race. Miriam, who was Moses' sister, was smitten with leprosy. Uzziah, who was a king, was a leper. Naaman, who was the captain of the great Syrian host, was a leper. Elisha's servant, Gehazi, was smitten with leprosy. Four men outside of the city of Samaria, they were smitten with leprosy. And more and more and more, because all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin, just like leprosy, is never cured until it is acknowledged. He could have walked the streets the rest of his days, and he could have noticed the sores and the blemishes on his body as a leper, and he might have said, "Well, I think it's looking a little bit better." But it was deadly. He could have walked and said, "Well, I think I'm improving a little bit, or maybe this is where I stood too close to the fire," or something like that. His family and friends could have said, "Well, I believe it's not really leprosy. It's probably that other skin disease." And that's just the way we are as sinners. That's what we say concerning ourselves. "Well, I'm not as bad as I used to be," or "I'm not as bad as so-and-so." And somebody else will tell us the same thing. But we are absolutely sinners. And sin is unto death. Isaiah. In Isaiah 6, he says, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Now, when did Isaiah say that? When he saw the King. When he saw the brilliant, white holiness of the Lord of glory. The next word in the next verse is this: "Then." "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar." What was that all about? That's where the sacrifice had been offered. That's where the finished work had been done. That's where God had consumed the sacrifice offered. And of those coals, of that finished work, the seraphim took that coal from off that one altar that God had accepted. And he laid it on my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Then. Why then? Because he had been brought to acknowledge what he was. Job, he says to God, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." What's that? The eye of God-given faith. "Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. I'll tell you, I know this. Whenever a man or a woman has been brought to see the Lord God of glory, have they been brought to see Him as He reveals Himself to be in the truth, they quit bragging on themselves. Somebody says, well, I don't know about those folks down there. They've got a real negative kind of view of themselves. They don't have very high hopes for humanity. Amen. That's a fact. But they've been brought to see the need of the grace of God. You find out you're sick, you'll be seeking the doctor. If you find out you've got a serious disease, that there is only one doctor in this world who has the cure and remedy and treatment for it, you'll do everything you can to get to where he is. And you'll be like this leper if necessary. You'll be down begging him to help you. Christ said the well man doesn't have the need for a physician. He said, I didn't come to call you who think you're righteous to repentance. I came to call sinners to repentance. Jeremiah, he says, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Acknowledge your ways. Hosea, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. You see, the gospel is a message for needy folks. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a hospital for sinners. Isaiah again, he says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Hold your place here and look back at Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 12. You see, there was under the law all of these laws pertaining to health and sanitation within the camp of Israel, but they are all spiritual pictures. Look at what it says in Leviticus 13 and verse 12. The law says, and if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh. Now, what does the law say here? If it is total, head to toe, every way, and the priest, wherever he examines it, that man's covered with leprosy. All right, listen. Then the priest shall consider and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white, and he is clean. Now that just sounds strange, doesn't it? It isn't. Until he comes before the priest, shows himself in the condition he is, submits to a total examination by the priest, who determines that that is exactly his condition, then the priest pronounces him clean. You say, well, I still see a little blemish here and there. The priest, under the authority of God, has said he's clean. Well, you say, I don't really think he's clean. Doesn't matter what you think. The priest of God has said he's clean. Well, sometimes he gets to worry and he sees a little blemish or something on his skin. He himself begins to wonder if he's... It doesn't matter. The priest said he was clean. And every sinner that comes confessing that all have sinned, in Adam all sinned, come forth from the womb speaking lies, knowing and doing no good, the wages of their sin being death, the soul that sinned shall surely die. Everyone who comes to Jesus Christ confessing this, he pronounces them clean. Actually, that's what the gospel does. The gospel does not make us clean. But the gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ, in his sacrifice and bloodshedding and death, provided that cleansing for all of God's elect, and he sends to them this good news that they're clean. But before he does, he uses the truth to make them see and know and feel their infirmity, their sin. You see, the only forgiven people in this world are those who have been brought to know their sin. The only people in this world, I don't care if they sing for days and shout for days and jump and hoop and holler for days, whatever they do, the only persons in this world who actually can praise God and thank Him are those who are broken in spirit and appreciate the mercy of God because they feel the weight of their sin. You remember around here when you always saw that sign that the Marines were looking for a few good men? That's about the case of religion. Not God. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And our natural mind, Paul says, the carnal mind, the very mind that we're born with, the heart that we're born with, he said, is enmity toward God. And the only one who in this law ever determined who had leprosy and who was a leper was the priest. Was the priest. If you look down in verse 45 of Leviticus 13, you see, it says, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean." Lepers were cast out of the camp. And lepers, if they ever came in contact with any other living soul, they were required to put their hands over their mouth and cry out as a warning to everybody, unclean, unclean. That's what God brings every sinner He saves to do. To acknowledge and to bow to that truth of what they are. Nothing but sin. But He bowed to another truth too. He bowed to the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Not just a Savior. Not just a healer or a miracle worker or a teacher. But when he came to Christ, he acknowledged Him as the Lord. He is nothing less. Jesus Christ is nothing less than the Lord, Jehovah God. You see, he didn't just bow down before him as a beggar trying to get a healing or something. He bowed down before him, acknowledging him in the truth of who he is. He is the Lord. As a matter of fact, his bowing down here, his worshiping him, that word means to worship him as a deity, as God. I remember a woman telling me one time who had claimed to be a Christian for ever since she's a little girl, I guess. She said, "You know, I didn't know that Jesus Christ was God." Well, why would you ever want to cast all your hope and your eternal soul and destiny on anyone who is anything less than God? God was manifest in the flesh. The Word that was God was made flesh and dwelt among us. He reverenced Christ, not as his friend or his good buddy or his newfound pal, but as the Lord. That's why I don't believe there are many people who know him. They can talk about him like he's a rock star or something. But he's the Lord. How can you ever even speak that word without having a reverence in your heart? He's the Lord. The Lord of lords. The Lord of glory. And not only that, he bows to this truth. And that is the ability and power of Christ. He said, "If you will, you can. You can." It's not a matter of whether you can or not. It's a matter if you will to or not. It's not a matter of ability, because he's able to do whatever he would. He's only governed by two things. Somebody says, "God can do anything He wants to." Yes and no. He has the ability to do all things, but He must always act in a way that's consistent with Himself, with His holiness, with His righteousness. He is not going to be unjust. If He justifies a sinner, it's going to be in a just way in Christ. If He saves you and me from our sins, He's going to do it in a way that honors everything about Him. And the second thing is this, he's going to do what he says. The reason why people like to say, well, God can do anything he wants to, is because they don't want to believe that he's done what he says he's done. You can. If you will, you can. That's just all there is to it. You can't go to a priest or a rabbi or any religious person, and you can't go to any preacher who can. But he can. Peter said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Not you might be healed. You were healed of this great malady of sin. Then he bows to another truth. It's amazing, isn't it, how just a few words so clearly declare what takes place. He bowed to the truth of Christ's sovereignty. He said, if you will. This isn't about man's so-called free will. This is about his will. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. He does whatsoever he wills. You see, his will to do a thing is a thing done. When he, in the natural creation, spoke this world into existence, that's all he had to do. He had to simply will it, command it, speak it into existence. Let there be light. And there was light. He will. He can make it clean. I don't know about you, but I tried a lot of reformation in my time. I tried a lot of mending my ways and trying to do better and all this kind of stuff. Turn over a new leaf and all that stuff. But I was like the woman with the issue of blood. I went to all those doctors, but only grew worse. You see, he's owning these facts. Lord, you don't have to. You don't owe it to me. I don't deserve the cleansing. I certainly can't claim a cleansing. But if you will, you will have mercy on whom you will have mercy. You will be gracious to whom you will be gracious. Once in a while, somebody will ask me, why do y'all call that church Sovereign Grace? I say, because that's exactly the kind of grace the Bible teaches. That grace belongs to God, who is the God of all grace, and he is gracious to whom he'll be gracious, and whom he will, he hardeneth. He can leave a person to the just consequences of their sins, leave them to their own selves and their own evil imaginations and inventions, or he can reach out the strong hand of his mercy and pluck them as fires out of the brand, out of the burning. That's how he likens our state. We're like a piece of wood or a piece of metal in a fire burning. And we'll be consumed. But he reaches down and he plucks us out of that fire. if He will. And I'll tell you, when you bow before that truth, Ben, that's a different story. When you find out what you are and that it's totally in His hands, that He's the only one who can save your wretched soul. You see, in coming to Christ, he bows to this truth also, that He is the only way, God's only way, to cleanse and save and heal sinners. He's the only one. That's why He's called the way, the truth, the life. He said, if you believe not that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. He's the only remedy, if you will. He's the only deliverance. And His deliverance is totally, thoroughly in that work that He Himself has done. He doesn't help you to save yourself. He doesn't offer you something. He doesn't make you better. He makes you perfect in God's sight, or you perish. Somebody says, how good do you have to be to go to heaven? Well, you have to be perfect. You have to be as good, in one sense of speaking, as God Himself. You have to be holy. And you'll never be holy by anything you quit doing or start doing. Holiness is in Jesus Christ alone. He is, as was prayed, the Lord, our righteousness. Isn't any of the righteousness? Isn't any of the hope? Isn't any of the cleansing? Look back in Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, just the next chapter from where we read. And here is how a leprous sinner is spiritually cleansed in a picture. Well, under the law, the priest said who was a leper. The priest pronounced clean. But when this man got the word from Christ, what did he do? He said, you go back and you offer that sacrifice that was according to Moses. You show to all these who will see you, your family, friends, and everybody, that this is the way and that this is the one who alone can cleanse. All right, look here in Leviticus 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. How was he cleansed? Two birds were to be taken. And one of those birds was to be killed and his blood shed in a vessel over running water. Somehow I just believe that that running water is typical as the water of the Word of the Gospel. Flows as a stream. It's going to keep right on going, this message that's represented here. Here's a bird killed. His blood is poured out. And the living bird is taken and dipped, along with a little piece of shrub called hyssop, into that blood. And that living bird is turned loose in a field. He flies away, a blood-spattered but living bird. And the priest takes that blood that's on that little piece of shrub and sprinkles it on that leper and pronounces him clean. And this is nothing less than a picture of the shed blood, of the cross work, of the dying, of the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners on that cross outside Jerusalem. And the Spirit of God takes the gospel of God and for that guilty sinner sprinkles their conscience, brings to their mind, enables them to believe and trust in and be comforted in the death of Jesus Christ. It is only by sacrifice for sin, only by the imputation of our sins to our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. Only by His death in our place. All of these things which are represented in these birds, including His resurrection and ascension back to heaven, that we can ever be purged from this leprosy of sin. But I can tell you this. The gospel pronounces every man in Christ, every woman in Christ, clean. And everyone in themselves, all their righteousness they seek to establish as filthy, vile, sick, with an incurable disease. Because Christ accomplished the work of redemption, because He offered Himself to God as a sacrifice in the place of His people, because He satisfied that holy law and inflexible justice of God in their place in the matter of their sin, God can justly pronounce every believer clean in Christ. Clean. What are you in yourself? Unclean. What are you in Christ? Clean. Clean. None but God can heal. But to His people, it is said of Him that He who in His own body bore our sins on the tree, it's by that sacrifice, He says, by His stripes, you were healed. You were healed. And what we are enabled to do when God gives us faith and we hear the gospel and believe on Him, we experience the joy and the benefit and the comfort and the peace of that healing. I'll hush. He said, if you will, you can make me clean. When He said, if you will, you can make me clean, He's acknowledging His own filthiness, His vileness. He's acknowledging who He is, His sovereignty, His power. You know what the next thing He hears is? I will. I will. Be thou clean. That's why we don't have trips down the aisles. I couldn't tell you that the Lord has saved you if my life depended on it. I couldn't pronounce you clean in God's sight. I certainly wouldn't do it on the basis that you'd prayed a little rehearsed prayer or gone in somebody's pool of water or shook my hand or something like that. You're going to have to go to the priest himself. But every sinner who's ever come to Him, He says, I will. I will. I like what He says in John 17. Father, I will that those that You've given Me be with Me where I'm at. You can have all the free will you want to. That's what I'm going with. The I will. I will. Be thou clean. Be thou clean. You just go and acknowledge the only way any sinner is clean. And that's by the sacrifice of Christ. God help us to look to Him. To bow to the truth. About ourselves. About Him. About the one way He saves sinners. What a sweet thing it is when He says to us, I will. You see, we talk about justification, which is simply this: God declaring a sinner to be righteous in Christ based on who He is and what He did. There it is. I will. Be thou clean. Now that happened to Him physically, but I have a feeling more so. I will. Be thou clean. Because I'm going to that cross. And I've already taken Your sins as Your surety upon Me. And I'm going to put them away. Make an end of them. You're clean. God help us to look to Him. Our Father, this day we give You thanks. We give You praise and glory and honor. You're worthy of far more than we could ever speak. We pray that You'd help us to bow to the truth, to be broken in spirit, to be contrite in heart, to acknowledge the truth as it is in Christ, that we might hear the sweet promise and word of the gospel in Him. That we are clean, accepted in the Beloved, washed in His blood, that He has by Himself purged our sins and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Lord, above all things that we could and should and do pray for this day, we pray that in this place you would take this gospel and make it good news to each and every one for the glory of your name. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.